under the care of my God the Almighty, taken from Psalm 91, and also the hymn 347, which we shall sing hereafter. There was a Scottish man by the name of William MacDonald. He was a pastor, teacher, mentor, and author. He lived 1917 to 2007. And he wrote a commentary for the whole Bible, called the Believer's Bible. A remarkable achievement. I was led to read this commentary through Dr. Tu, our pastoral advisor. And it's interesting, as I turned to Psalm 91, there I saw the testimony of this man. And it was a personal testimony that he wrote, and I'd like to share with you. He says this in 1922, some years after he was born in 1917, in the Western Hebrides, that is the place that is in the area of Scotland. I checked the map, it was just at a coastal area. He was 5 years old at that time, a little boy, and he was struck with a disease, an infection caused by a bacteria that came and spread throughout that region. The infection came by air, by contact, and he testified, and I was checking up this disease called diphtheria, and he says that the symptoms of this comes with sore throat and fever. And then he says that in severe cases, grey-white patches would develop in the throat. And this, when it's serious, it can block the airway and cause someone to be choked. And eventually, in severe, serious cases, the person would die. And so he testified, he wrote, he says that a mucous membrane was forming across my throat. And he says, breathing was becoming more difficult. By that age, I believe we are able to understand what's going on around us. And his mother, he testified, turned her back so that she could not see him take his last breath. It was that serious. It was critical. It was life-threatening. And at that moment, there was a knock on the door. Interesting story, testimony. He says, it was her brother-in-law from the adjoining village. And he said, I've just come to tell you that you don't have to worry about the child. He's going to recover. And one day, God is going to save his soul. How did this man know? So he testified. She was distracted. And he wrote, incredulous. Whatever makes you say that? Then he explained. He was sitting by his fireplace and he was reading the Psalm 91, this psalm that we are reading, when God distinctly spoke to him through the last three verses that is set forth. Well, he quoted the Scottish Psalter with these words of the last three verses of Psalm 91. Because on me he set his love, I'll save and set him free. Because my name he hath known, I will set him on high. He will call on me, I'll answer him. I will be with him still, in trouble to deliver him, and honor him I will.
With length of days unto his mind, I will satisfy him. I will also my salvation. I also my salvation will cause his eyes to see. This was the Scottish psalter. The words put to music. And he testified, I was that boy. God delivered me from death that night. And how he testified that God also saved his soul 13 years later. And he also testified, he has satisfied me with long life. 1917 to 2007, quite recent. And yet, if you read his commentary, wow, he writes like someone ancient, someone with a wisdom and a grip of the truth. Interesting. And so, you understand, he says, why I refer Psalm 91 as my psalm. And he says, I usually add with tongue in cheek. It is not a shame to testify that I am willing to share it with others, but it is definitely my psalm. As we review his testimony, we realize how precarious life is. As I read his testimony, as I reflect upon life in general, we realize how weak we are, how much we are not in control of the things happening around us and in us. As we look at this story, and it will inevitably cause us to fret and to fear the unknown, to fear the uncertainty. But for God's people, as we contemplate the uncertainties of life and how we are not the master of it, we know that there is one whom we can trust that is in charge, and that he is the master of it all. Your life and my life. And this is where we would like to direct our thoughts tonight, so that we may be focused upon the God who created us and who sustains us and who saves us, so that our life would have that kind of a strength as we come to the close of the year of grace 2016 and prepare for the unknown 2017 that we will usher in just in a few hours' time. And it is also appropriate that we renew our hearts to the truth of the living and true God who is influencing our lives. This man was a commended worker of the Lord. For 60 years he served the Lord. And he wrote 84 books, and the Believer's Bible Commentary was one of them. William MacDonald was such a man. And he speaks about his life, and he said, quoting 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And so as he wrote his commentaries, he says, Jesus' life, as set forth in the gospel, is our pattern and our guide. It is not a life which we can live by our own strength and energy, but it is only possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. And our responsibility is to turn our lives over to him unreservedly and allow him to live his life in and through us. And this must be the kind of life that God wants His people to live. So close in communion, so close in fellowship with omnipotence. And so as we draw to the close of 2016 and at the threshold of the year 2017, we would like to take time to prepare our hearts to live better this earthly life in the light of eternity. That's why we are here in God's house to seek Him. And what better place it is than to quietly meditate upon God and His Word and His prophet for us in our life, for our life, before we begin the year. And so, four thoughts we would like to bring to you. And you can imagine the four points of the cross as we contemplate this theme, under the care of my God, the Almighty. Four thoughts: trust Him, experience Him, seek Him, love Him. Trust Him, verses 1 to 2. Experience Him, verses 3 to 8. Seek Him, verse 9 to 13. And love Him, verses 14 to 16. The first thought that we want to think about: trust Him, verses 1 to 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, our text, our psalmist tells us, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him will I trust. This first thought tells us that our God is trustworthy. He's someone dependable. You know, in life, that if there's one thing that will give you stability, that is the living and true God, whom you can depend on for your life, through thick and thin, whatever circumstances. And this is the God that the psalmist tells us He can trust. That's why he says at the end of verse 2, in Him will I trust. And he's recommending this God to you. And he shares with us the care of God in his life. And you will notice how he described his God in verse at the end of verse 1 as the Almighty. Now, what does this word Almighty mean? That God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His power. Omnipotence is with Him. There is no power that can prevail against Him. Satan is a defeated foe with our Almighty God. And it is wonderful to have the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, as your Heavenly Father, isn't it? The psalmist has such an intimate knowledge and relationship with God in his life, and he recommends this God to us. And so, in verses 1 to 2, he tells us five things about this God. He dwells with me, verse 1a, He hides me, verse 1b, He knows me, verse 2a, He shelters me, He's a refuge, verse 2b, and He protects me, He's a stronghold, He's a fortress. And so the Lord wants us to think, although He is the invisible God, although we cannot see Him, but He wants us to know His presence with us. And the psalmist categorically list for us how this God is so great, so able to help him. And therefore he says, I can trust Him to care for me. You know, this thought about entrusting your life to someone dependable, right? It's a major thing, right? Because if that person whom you would put your trust and your faith in would fail you, oh, then you realize that you're, it's no help. But if that person whom you would put your faith and trust in is able, and this is what the psalmist is telling us, what our God can do for us. And so, when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to come into our hearts, believing that Jesus took the punishment for our sins upon the cross, and how he rose again victorious from the dead the third day over sin and death, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us to make us his permanent home. And so the psalmist is telling us that one who has God with him, the seal of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, means that the Almighty God dwells with us. So Satan and the world and its demons cannot harm you without God's permission. You know, we came here for a service at 8 p.m. Night time, darkness outside, quite precarious. Driving, walking, if you're not careful, can trip because visibility is poor. The psalmist is telling us that there is one who can take care of you, although you may not be able to see clearly all the things, the dangers that is surrounding you. And so, if you are a child of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit that is in you is greater than all the evil spirits that is in the world. And therefore, you know, you may be walking in a dark alley, you may be sleeping somewhere across the world alone in the night. There is a stillness that is in your heart. There is a stability. There is not the wanton fear, the sudden fear that comes to your heart. No. There is that restfulness. There is that resting that is in your heart, because you know that God is with you. Do you have that kind of assurance in your heart as you live life? Or does fear come and overtake you? Well, the psalmist says that he has his God with him, and therefore the indwelling presence of God with him gives him that stability and strength in his life. And that's real, you know. And God wants you to live that kind of a life. But our text tells us more than God's indwelling presence with his people. You see, this text tells us of God's special blessings, as you read the text carefully in verse 1 and 2, for believers who live in close fellowship with God. When you dwell in the presence of God in your life, when you have communion and a moment-by-moment fellowship with God, he blesses you in a very special way. And this is what the psalmist is telling us. That we have the Spirit of God in us. And the Bible tells us that when we are not walking with God, God may be present with us, but we don't want him, although he is dwelling with us. Paul says this in Ephesians 4, about the grieving of the Spirit of God when we choose to go our own way. And, you know, he gave this illustration, this application of how we choose to go our own way when he says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then he tells us that watch our tongue. Watch what you say. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This is the meaning of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. God's Spirit is with you, teaching you how you live, how to live your life, the words you say, the thoughts that comes to your mind, sanctified. He hides under his shadow, the shadow of God. And it's interesting, the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, C.H. Spurgeon, he said this: the omnipotent Lord will shield all those who dwell with him. They shall remain under his care as guests under the protection of their host. Those who commune with God are safe with him. No evil can reach them, for the outstretched wings of his power and love cover them from all harm. I cannot put it better. That's what the psalmist is telling us. He shall cover thee, verse 4, with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. God's tender personal care upon us. So, we want us to think about this God, how he's so trustworthy. That's the first thought. And because he dwells with me, he hides me under the shadow of his wings. He knows me, verse 2a says. I will say of the Lord. The word Lord there is the word Jehovah. In the name of Jesus, our God, when we have a personal relationship with God, he knows us and he gave himself to make sure that we are protected by him all the way. And so, when we have him as our personal Lord and Savior, our text tells us, he shelters us and he protects us. So I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. A refuge is a shelter. And the psalmist is painting for us how God is a place, our God is a place of safety and protection, security. You know, throughout this year, we have been spending time speaking about the Christian home. We have been spending time learning about family devotion, spending time with God, personal quiet time. Why were we making all this focus throughout this year? Well, it is so that we may know that if you are in any danger, if there's any weakness, any situation that you cannot overcome, there is your God whom you can seek. It's just a prayer away. He is with you, able to help you, a shelter for you. And he's a fortress. A fortress is a stronghold. A fortress is a place of hiding, is a place of defense, is a place where you store up your supplies for battle. And so this whole year, we've been spending time on the theme of the Christian home. how the members of the family ought to take time to do, to contemplate, to know, to seek a close walk with God. That is how we receive the blessings of God. And I could think of the disciples who was with Jesus while he was on earth, and how they were in the sea, and how there was a storm that arose, and how he stilled the storm. And I recall also the hymn, "Jesus, I am resting." Are you resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? You recall the hymn, "Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart." This is what the psalmist is telling us. "I testify, the Almighty God is trustworthy." You can trust him. This is what he's saying to us in the first two verses. Trust him. And from verses 3 to 8, experience him. So in order that you may find the fullness of God's presence and power and blessing upon you, you need to have faith to follow him. And then you need to have that faith to experience him. Verse 3, the psalmist says, now you see he changes tone and he speaks as if, you know, to the reader, that I'm telling you, my God is so powerful, able to help you. And then he tells us by examples how you can depend on him. Verses 3 to 8, he says, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence." The fowler is the bird catcher, one who sets a trap to catch the prey. And so he's telling us that there are many physical dangers that surrounds you. Foes scheming to trap you. What will you do? And sometimes the unknown can cause us to be so fidgety as we think in our mind over and over again. Well, our text tells us that you have a God who watches over you. And with God's eye watching over you, no plot against you, no harm against you can come if you have God at the helm over your interest. So do you take time to ask, let the Lord know what are the troubles that befall you? Do you take time to consider and think, what are those things that, you know, you need to set in order in your life? The Lord tells us that this is what we ought to do. And to experience him. As we look at the things around us, we live in an age where pestilence, infectious diseases sweep the world. Bird flu, SARS. Sometimes you don't know how to protect yourself anymore. But we can commit ourselves to God. I recall this year, well, the family was down with the flu, one of the strains. And out of four members in the family, three were struck down. But when we were there at the clinic, the doctor said, "Oh, I just got the test kit." And he tested. He says, "Positive. This is what you need to put yourself on." 9 days, each one of us. Well, as we think, as we lay in bed and feel very, very weak in all our sickness, well, we thank God that, you know, the doctor brought in the kit at that time and he could test us, and the right solution was administered. "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." We don't know how to protect ourselves, but our God can, as we commit ourselves to him. That's why he says in verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." The Lord tells us that, you know, he covers us. It's a description of the mother hen over her little chickens. The mother bird protecting her young with her own body. We see this in nature. And we see also how God sent forth his Son. Christ came to bear the disease of sin on our behalf. The worst pestilence that can plague us, the disease of sin, God sent forth his Son to bear that disease, that sin for us, so that we may be delivered. And how that deliverance is so powerful, isn't it? Every sin is washed by the blood of Christ as he bore it upon the cross. And then we are also reminded in the book of Exodus, when Israel came out of Egypt, you recall, Moses was given these words from the Lord in Exodus 19 verse 4. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Remember, they were slaves in Egypt. How they were tormented. Life was so difficult. And how God delivered them. How God parted the Red Sea. Dry land. They moved across. And in the wilderness, you know, when you are out of Egypt, no more river now. No more nourishment. You are there in the bare desert. And how God provided the people of Israel with manna from heaven to feed them, and the pillar of cloud by day against the heat of the wilderness. No, you're in the wilderness, nothingness but the heat. And you have a cloud hovering over the people of Israel. A huge number, this cloud, you can imagine, must be a really big one. How he would come and he would block the sun, you know. If not, you would die under the heat. We all know what wilderness heat is like. Those of us who have been to the Holy Land, you know. And he tells us also, a pillar of fire by night to protect them from the cold and the wild animals. And this is what the Lord wants us to understand. See, this is what he is doing for us. Have you thought about it? How God has been with you for this year, 2016? Sometimes we don't really know, haven't really acknowledged the presence of God taking care of us, helping us. But God wants us to know and acknowledge that whatever that has happened in your life to bring you to this point, it is a life sustained by the grace of God undergirding you. And this is what the Lord wants you to know. And, you know, the psalmist is telling us that God's working is unknown, unexplainable, unfathomable, how He leads us by His presence. So the pestilence, you can't see the pestilence, right? How it's going to affect you, you know, the air you breathe, how it's going to attack you, you don't know. You're going to be so afraid, isn't it, if you have no way to find out how you are to be helped. And so the psalmist is telling us that our God is able to help you. And verse 4 is interesting, that he also tells us that he helps us, he covers us by his truth. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So he's saying that, you know, he gives to us his word, his commandments for our protection. And so when we live this life abiding by his commandments, by his grace, we follow what he teaches us in his word, it is like a defensive weapon, a shield that protects us. Right? The buckler is a small shield. And so the Lord tells us that we are a very privileged people. And you may not realize it, but the psalmist is telling us that, you know, it's about time we see it. And with that, may we be filled with thanksgiving and hope. And so the psalmist tells us in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What will be in 2017, we don't know. We just heard news that 3 aircraft carriers are just hovering outside the Mediterranean Sea. The Russians are there, the Americans are there, the French are there. And there, they are going to talk on the negotiation table. And, you know, not just the aircraft carriers, beneath the sea, all the nuclear submarines, they can reach any target, any time. This is the world that we are in today. And you can see things changing very quickly. What will it be next year, January 20th? We don't know. As we think of what is going on around us. But we know that our God is in control. Whether it's famine, whether it's war, whether it's pestilence, whether it's violence, whether it's earthquake, the psalmist is telling us that there is a peace and a fearlessness, a restfulness that is in the heart of the psalmist. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Why did he have to, you know, list it out one by one to tell us? Because life is like that. Troubles come, calamities come, seem to come all at the same time. And you know, you're at a loss how to handle, what to do. And then he went on, you know, to tell us, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, and he shall not come nigh thee. What is he saying here? He's assuring us of God's protective care for your life. When you are afraid, you can pray. You can find assurance in your heart from the promises of God's word. This is what he's saying to us. Life is fraught with danger, and yet for all the danger, all the evil that can plague us, it will not come nigh thee as you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So verse 8 he says, only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. He's saying that God will fight your battles for you. If you have any battle that you need to fight in your life, to live this life for His honor and for His glory, He will be with you to help you. And so, He's telling us, having known who He is, how He is one who is worthy of our trust, how He is one worthy of our experiencing, He's telling us that we should seek Him. That's the third thought from verses 9 to 13. Seek Him by persistent and unceasing prayer for His favor to help you through life. And that is not an easy thing, you know. It takes a lifetime for us to learn how to draw nigh to God, draw strength from God, how to walk in the Spirit. Oftentimes, we let the flesh take over. And when the flesh takes over, that's it. You fall. And you face the consequences of your fall. And so, he tells us from verse 9 to 13, how trouble can come. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even thy habitation. Therefore, whatever trouble may come, He will be there for you. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee. Huh. He tells us that the invisible spirits, called the angels, are at the command of God to protect you. An interesting truth. He sends His angels to protect us. Right? We have the story of the Assyrians surrounding Jerusalem and how Israel was so much besieged and in trouble. But God sent the angels, and how in one night the entire army was destroyed. The Lord is saying to us that He will be there for you. They shall bear thee in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So He's telling us that, you know, when God is with you, God will take care of you. And there is no evil that can come nigh you without God's permission. But because you have made Him your Lord, He will take care of you. And so, as we think about this flow of thoughts here, I believe that this text tells us that there must be a perseverance and a persistence in our hearts to follow our God, to walk with Him, to seek Him. And that walk will not be easy.
Spurgeon, again I quote him, he testified. He says, in the year 1854,
London
was plagued with cholera. And he says, many of his congregation suffered. And so family after family, he was summoned to the bedside. And he says that almost every day,
I was called to visit the grave. He says, I gave myself up with youthful ardor to the visitation of the sick and was sent to every corner of the district by everyone. And he says, I became weary in body and sick at heart. He says, my friends seemed to be falling one by one. And he says, I was sickening right me and myself. And he says, a little more work, I could not bear it anymore. I felt that my burden was heavier than I could bear, and I was ready to sink under it. And as he thinks, and he says, and as he went through the difficulties of that time, he saw in a shoemaker's window this text of Psalm 91, and it was written there, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So he says that although I was so weary at that time, the burden was so great, and yet as I read those words, my heart was steeled. Faith came into me again, and I was strengthened. I felt secure. I was refreshed and girded, he says, with immortality. And God gave him that power to press on. And so the psalmist is saying to us that the man who dwells in God, he shall be secure. And, you know, as we begin, we're going to celebrate our third anniversary of this church. And as we think about the beginning, I could think about a time when we were giving out tracts in the neighborhood. And I could remember it was very late in the night, and we were giving out tracts in the various places and feeling weary and tired, and said, where are we going to find the strength to carry on? Well, it is the same experience that I share with you. The grace of God came, a renewal of strength to carry on. And so the psalmist says, I testify the Almighty God is trustworthy, and I verify His ability to help me. Verses 8 to 13. And from verse 14 to 16. Love Him. Love Him. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He hath known my name. So what he's saying here is that the people of God must, having known who He is, loved Him with all our hearts, because He's so dependable, we must prove Him dependable. So our Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So for all that God is, will we not seek Him?
love Him with all our hearts? Surely we must. May the Lord help us as we come to the close of 2016 to reconsecrate our lives to Him as we begin this new year. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy in giving to us Thy word. How, Lord, You are such a dependable God, and how oftentimes we run our own way, how we have not seek Thee, but how You have continued to seek us. And Lord, we thank Thee for Thy protective care upon us. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou be merciful and gracious to help Thy people, that they may be indeed focused in their devotion upon Thee, that indeed, because they have set their love upon Thee, that they may experience Your life in them afresh, Your Spirit undergirding, helping, energizing, blessing them. O God, may Thou prepare Thy people as we usher in this new year. May Thou bless them as they draw near to Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.